For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark. Water, it's all around us, isn't it? It covers 2/3 of the earth. It comprises 3/4 of our bodies. We need it for life itself, for sustenance. We wash in it, we cook in it, we clean in it. We use it for manufacturing, for growing crops, for transportation. We use it for fun, for sports, for entertainment. Water is a great blessing from God for us. Yet there are also curses associated with water, aren't there? Tsunamis, hurricanes, floods. Water becomes fetid, grows bacteria, causes illness, epidemics, and even death. Water harbors the mosquitoes that give rise to malaria. Water is the home of piranhas and water moccasins and stinging jellyfish. Water swallows up those who are thrust into the sea from capsized boats, as we've recently witnessed on the Red Sea. Water brings toxic substances to all parts of the earth. Water causes mudslides, you know, California type. Water causes huge problems with erosion. Water, if not present, prevents a good harvest of crops. Now, the truth is that throughout history, God uses water for both curse and blessing. He withholds water from the Israelites in the wilderness as punishment for their faithlessness. He drowns hard-hearted Pharaoh's armies in the Red Sea. He causes drought at several times during the period of the judges and the kings to bring faithless people back to him. He uses water figurative throughout the language of the Psalms to speak of man's sinfulness and the torment caused for man by his own disobedience. For example, just listen to these from Psalm 42. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and waves have gone over me. Or from Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. And of course, in our text today, water becomes a curse upon the multitude of unbelievers who had rejected the triune God who had made them and who did not believe in the promise that Christ would crush the serpent's head. Our text describes them as violent, as corrupt. They despised God himself. They're the worst sinners you could ever imagine. They make the worst first page criminals in our Fort Wayne newspapers look like pretty good guys. And you know who they are? They're you and they're me without Jesus Christ. They are receiving what you and I deserve to receive without Christ. Well, fortunately, there's also great blessing in the scriptures. Blessing for water, blessing in water. Water covers the creation at the earliest moment to nourish it. Water has the Holy Spirit hovering over it. Water flows through the Garden of Eden to give it life. Water allows the Israelites safe passage into the Sinai. Water recedes in the presence of the ark so that Joshua and those following him can go through into the promised land. Water purifies and blesses in the temple liturgies. Bitter water is made sweet at Marah. A rock gives birth to water under the strike of Moses' rod. Jonah is saved through a watery ride in a large water creature. 12 springs of Elam give relief to those who thirst. Water is changed into wine at Cana. Living water is given to the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus washes his disciples' feet in water and tells us to do the same. Jesus takes water and dirt and makes spittle. to make a blind man see. Jesus and Peter each walk on water. Nicodemus is told that he must be born again by water and the Spirit. A river of life flows through Revelation and his new kingdom. Jesus is the one from whom rivers of water, living water, flow. And now in our text, Noah and his family are saved by water, saved through the blessing of God in the ark, saved while the water becomes judgment for all others. You see, saved by Christ, the same God who now baptizes us into the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, that ark is the church that you are now in. That ark is the church that blesses you with water and with word. You are the ones who are baptized into Christ himself. Christ washes away your sins. Christ gives you everlasting life. Christ gives you the total benefits of his atoning life, death, and resurrection through the water of holy baptism. You are his forever. It's not surprising that Martin Luther, in his flood prayer, which is increasingly used, thankfully, in our congregations, talks about water and then the flood as prefiguring this bath of your baptism. It's also not surprising that in that prayer, he says that that through Christ's baptism, the Jordan and all water have been set apart as a salutary flood and a rich and full washing for sins. So now then, as we look at the water that is in this font as we leave this chapel and as we perhaps dip our finger into it, we see water as a wonderful instrument of God's salvation. And even as we look out into the lake afterwards, or we get a drink in the fountain, or we wash our hands in the restroom even, water takes on a totally different meaning for us. It's not simply that God used water. It is that God made water and has used water for the regeneration of our beings. And so now we cannot see water in any place, any form, without thinking about how we have been baptized with it for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Baptized into the water of eternal life you live. And as you live, Christ uses you as his vessel to shower others with this water of life, his love. This water of life flows from you into the world around you. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.